Good evening, Nerd Clan. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club. This chapter is, well, this analysis of the chapter is going to be very short, simply because there's not a whole ton to talk about yet again. And you may hear in the background the soothing, dulcet tones of Jim Dale reading Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets to my kids as they tried to fall asleep. So please forgive any intrusion from the one and only Jim Dale. So we're back here with chapter 13, another complication. And like last chapter, this feels a lot like filler. It feels a lot like we're spinning wheels just to get to a certain point. And of course, that point is Edward and Billy Black coming into each other's presence, along with Jacob Black. We finally get some insight into, well, not insight, but we finally get an experience of what Jacob's mind is like, what his thought process is like, especially as it relates to Edward's car. And we get a further clarification on the treaty with the Quileutes. And also that at the time the treaty was created, there was only 5 Cullens. Also, the Quileutes seem to be lessened in their power. It seems like Edward believes the Quileutes don't have whatever ability or whatever means to defend themselves that they once did. He doesn't see them as a threat. Yet they still see the Cullens as a threat. And Edward validates that feeling. Edward validates the feeling of knowing that some of the Cullens still have something left in them to cause danger to the Quileutes. So, of course, if you've read the Twilight book, you know that the Quileute genes have gone somewhat dormant over the years until the Cullens arrived back in the area, which would then allow them to continue on the path that they were once going under. So I will say that this is an interesting way to reintroduce the conflict between the Cullens and the Quileutes, and it's a interesting way to introduce the fact that there are abilities that the Quileutes seem to have in contrast to the Cullens or vampires in general. The fact that they lost him seems to suggest that something has changed. The fact that they lost him seems to suggest also that because of that change, the Quileutes have seemed to become a little bit more the opposite of the Cullens, that they not only should they not be afraid, well, should the Quileutes be afraid of the Cullens? The Cullens seem to be less afraid of the Quileutes. So it's an interesting dichotomy that Stephanie Meyer has alluded to here. She just barely ticks the surface of what's coming. She just barely introduces us to a much larger picture that she's trying to paint. But as large of a picture as she's trying to paint with the Quileutes and the Cullens, she's giving us a brief glimpse into the smaller setting of Edward and Bella. And we finally get some more interaction, actual interaction, not just mindless self-centered brooding from Edward, though that does happen quite a bit in this chapter. It's far less in the previous chapters. One moment that made me chuckle is when Edward asks Bella her favorite color. She rolled her eyes. Oh, what's your favorite color today? She thought for just a second. Probably brown. I assumed she was mocking me, and my tone shifted to match her sarcasm. Brown? Sure, she said. And then she was unexpectedly on the defensive. Perhaps I should have expected this. She never liked judgments. Brown is warm. I miss brown. Everything that's supposed to be brown, tree, trunks, rocks, dirt, is all covered up by squashy green stuff here. Her tone brought back the sound of her sleeping complaint at the other night. Too green? Was this what she had meant? I stared at her, thinking how right she was. Honestly, looking into her own eyes now, I realized that brown was my favorite too. I couldn't imagine any more shade, any shade more beautiful. Wow. This is like laying it on pretty thick. Now I know Stephanie Meyer kind of brings the chapter back to this moment.